which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There is the gospel, that Christ died, that he rose. Oh, wait a minute, am I forgetting something? Don't we always forget it? He was buried. He died, he was buried, he rose again. There's the gospel. I can dissect it really well for you. I can talk about his death. I can talk about the coverage of sin, the sin of the entire world, your specific sin because of his death. I can talk about his death for you, and I can talk about you being on the cross with him. I can talk about burial, that when he was buried, I was buried. Talk about the resurrection. He rose from the dead. Oh, glorious day. We sing about it. We revel in it. But do we believe it's God's way for me, for you? I believe it's God's way for Jesus. He's the Son of God, of course. Someone had to die for the sin of the world. But his death, burial, and resurrection, God's way. That's something you're going to have to wrestle out like Jacob did at Jabbok. You're going to have to wrestle with God. Is that God's way for me? Well, we're going to take a look and see if death, burial, and resurrection is God's way for us. Resurrection is not an isolated event. Please don't let's not talk about resurrection unless we talk about his death and burial. Let's not isolate it. Why don't you turn with me to John chapter 11? And Jeff read a little bit of John chapter 11, read about those two sisters, but it starts a little bit very much close to home for many of us. And I'm not going to read, or don't have the time to read all the 40 verses that I want to read. Jeff read a few of them, but nevertheless, I want to make just one point. Now, this chapter is very dear to my heart, as the Lord has shown me a lot of things from it about faith, hope, and love. But I'm going to just focus on love, because the death that took place here took place because of love. God loved Lazarus. Get your feet set in cement on that truth. God loves you. Embrace it. Revel in it. God loves me, because that truth is going to get challenged like no other truth. And the enemy, he's going to say, that's a great truth. That's a great one. But Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that word truth in the Greek can be translated reality. And that's what the enemy does. He says, hey, believe all the truth you want, as long as it doesn't become reality in your life. As long as when the first thing that goes wrong happens, you kind of go, he must not love me. What happened? If he would have loved me, this wouldn't be happening. Have you been there? Have you asked that question? I have, numerous times. And just shake my head and go, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Well, in chapter 11, just to go over the story with you, you can read it, please do, over and over and over again. There are three brethren, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, that lived in Bethany. And they loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. And they sent a message to Jesus. He was a few days away. And the message was, he whom you love is sick. And so the message was very clear. Everybody knew what it meant. We need you. Come quickly. Heal our brother who you love. And the sisters had complete trust that Jesus would do the best for them. They believed Romans before it was written. All things work together for good. They believed that. But God, in his deep ways, is going to get to the heart of the matter for us. I believe you, Jesus. I've seen you heal the sick. I've seen the lame walk. I've heard that, and I've seen the deaf hear me. All these miracles, these miraculous works of yours. And so they call Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He goes and rents a horse, a mule, gets on it and goes as fast as he can and goes and heals Lazarus. No, that's not what he does. It says he waits. He waits until Lazarus dies. Well, wait a minute, what kind of love is that? That doesn't fit into my box of love. You were supposed to come and heal him. My box says you're the great healer. But I'm not really sure if you can raise someone from the dead. Can you raise someone from the dead, Jesus? In fact, that thought never even enters my mind. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, everything would be okay. But you're too late. The box is speaking louder than who you are. I'm the resurrection. There's the truth. Here's the reality and the life. I love it that he's the bread of life. I love it that he's the way, the truth, and the life. I love it that he's the resurrection and the life. He doesn't stop short. He doesn't say, guess what? Let's read the Bible today. He says, no, I want to communicate with your heart. Are you going to let me communicate with your heart? I'm the resurrection and the life. He waited for Lazarus to die. See, we believe in the resurrection, but do we believe in resurrection? Because if you come to the crux of the matter, if you believe in resurrection, you got to believe that something's got to die. And that's where the crux is. That's where the cross is. That's where the decision is. We don't, I'm not sure. I didn't really believe in resurrection. I believed in a lot of things. I believed in alternatives to resurrection. I believed in rehabilitation. I believed in resuscitation. I believed in reviving, revitalization. I believed in a good repair job. Good repair job will do it, okay? Sometimes it does. But if something's dead, I don't care how long you try to resuscitate. It's not going to work. I don't care how long you try to repair it. It's going to still be broken. What a hard lesson it is to not try to fix things. To not try to fix situations. To not try to fix people. People we love, especially. 1 Corinthians, there's a 2 Corinthians, there's a verse that spoke to my heart. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the hardships that we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Paul is sharing his heart with these Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. This is right in verse 8 and 9. We're at the beginning, right after he talks about a God of comfort. He knows what he's talking about when he talks about God being a God of comfort, because God has raised him from the dead. But before that, he's got to admit, he's got to confess, he's got to tell us that God had to convince me, because I believed in the resurrection, but I didn't believe in resurrection. Do you get the difference? I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but I didn't believe that he could raise me from the dead. And so, our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but it happened. It had to happen. That we might not rely, that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He's the only one that can raise the dead. He's the only one that can, he can solve that situation. He can only, he's the only one that can bring back to life that relationship. There's so many issues between people. There's so many issues. You know, there's issues with our jobs, and there's issues with my barn, and there's issues with my animals, and there's all kinds of issues. But brothers and sisters, the key, the issue is issues with people. Those are the issues. That brothers and sisters can't look at each other and shake hands. Why? Dissection. We become a church of dissectors. The Lord God is one. It's a three-stranded cord. Not just love. Everybody wants to talk about love. But faith and hope also. Well, in chapter 11, hope, faith, love, they're all there. In all these resurrection pictures, they're all there, because God is one. He doesn't go, hey, wait a minute, we're going to dissect it right here. No, it's all going to be there. I can tell you. I mean, that's where I learned about faith, was in John 11. What does Jesus say? This sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. There's the word of God. This sickness is not unto death. Now what happened? Lazarus died. Talk about walking in faith. Wait a minute. You said this sickness was not unto death. Reality, what I'm experiencing, what I'm in, Lazarus died. Wait a minute, Lord, it's been 4 days. He stinketh. Don't roll back that stone. Wait a minute, what happened to believing God? What happened to that? Well, circumstances kind of get in the way. Well, we'll get to this. But how he loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary to explode their box to smithereens. He blew it apart. He's blown my box apart so many times. He's finally started asking me, why are you building another box? Why are you trying to separate? Why are you trying to dissect? It's all Mr. Palmer's fault from biology in high school. I had such a good time dissecting, I just keep on doing it. I'm going to have to talk to Vince one of these days. Well, love, basis of resurrection. Mark 12 is another resurrection chapter. It's a strange chapter of resurrection. But I pull it and use it and think about it a lot because of the Sadducees. Now, I could give you the history of the Sadducees, but we don't have enough time. Just get this one point about the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the miraculous. They didn't believe in the miraculous. They had a belief that they had dissected to the jot and tittle. And so, because they didn't believe in the miraculous, guess what falls into the miraculous? Resurrection. And so it starts off in chapter 12, verse 18. Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection. Then some Sadducees, oh Lord, help me to watch out for the leaven of the Sadducees. Jesus says, watch out for the leaven of the Sadducees. They don't believe in the miraculous. They believe in what they can do. They believe in what they can fix. They can believe on how they can set things up to make it all perfect. But if it's an impossible situation, they're gone. I know a lot of you have watched The Chosen, and I've watched a little bit of it, but I have been thinking about Nicodemus since that first episode. When Mary Magdalene turned to him and said, you have no power here. And he backed up and he hightailed it. And it bothered him. It did something to him. His box exploded. Here's the teacher of Israel, and he has no power. Sadducees had no power either. They were deceived. They knew not the scriptures nor the power of God, it says about them. And they say to Jesus, trying to trick him, teacher, great instructor, we bow to you. We have a question. There was a man who had a wife, and he died. And you know what the scripture says, that his brother was to come and marry her and to have offspring. But this man had seven brothers, and they all married her and died. Whose husband, whose will she be in the resurrection? They don't even believe in the resurrection. And Jesus says to them, you're deceived. That's what he says. You know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Down in verse 26 of chapter 12, he says, but concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush episode, that passage, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You're therefore greatly deceived. The death, burial, and resurrection is the truth of the gospel. Burial equates to waiting. Jesus went into the grave 3 days and three nights, and don't get me started on it, because it's one of my pet peeves. 3 days and three nights. And one, we'll invite you over to dinner sometime, and you please tell me how 3 days and three nights start on Friday night. Just tell me about it. Well, we're not going to try to rely on ourselves here. Faith needs to be in operation. The genuflection before his ways, being higher than our ways, has to take place. We can't trust in ourselves to fix a situation, to fix a person. And God picks Moses to bring that forth. He could have chosen Abraham. He could have said, you Sadducees don't know what you're talking about. Look at Abraham. What does it say about Abraham? His body was dead. But guess what? Resurrection took place. He had Isaac through Sarah, who had a dead womb, it speaks about. Or he could have chosen Joseph. We've been hearing about Joseph. Hey, guess what, guys? I'm going to be your leader. You're going to bow down before me. I bet he got a good beating after that one. That's what I think happened. I was a brother with brothers, and I beat them silly, you know. Well, Abraham, it took 25 years for him from the promise to the reality of it. And for Joseph, it was about 20 years from the dream to where here comes his brothers looking for food. Or how about Daniel? Oh, let's go to David. anointed king of Israel? How long did it take before Israel acknowledged him king? 25 years. 25 years. Well, what was going on in those 25 years? He was in the grave. What happened to Abraham? He was in the grave. What happened to Joseph? He was in the grave. But he didn't choose Abraham, didn't choose Joseph, didn't choose David. He chose Moses. Why? Because Moses was in the grave 40 years. Do you remember the story of Moses? Because he uses the burning bush, Moses. Well, Moses goes and he says, hey guys, I'm it. God somehow revealed to him that he was to be the deliverer of Israel. You can read about it in Acts chapter 7. But they didn't understand, it says. They didn't realize that God had answered their prayers. They'd been crying out to God, and he's here's the answer. I'm it. I'm your answer. I'm the deliverer. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm going to be your judge, your ruler. What are you going to do? Kill us like you killed the Egyptian? How are you going to rule over us? With that strong hand? Yeah, you're big. You're good looking. You got all the power. But the gospel has burial in it. I don't know if you've ever been buried. I didn't know about this whole Sadducee resurrection story until I was in the grave. And then I understood. I understood how God uses time and suffering while we're in the grave. And it's part of the gospel. It's as much part of the gospel as death. It's as much part of the gospel as resurrection. And yet we go from death to resurrection, just like that. But God doesn't. Who got resurrected? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? We could all talk about there's resurrection. Isaac on the altar, almost getting stabbed. Jacob hearing about Joseph's death, dying in his heart, coming back to life when he finds out Joseph. He picks Moses because Moses was dead, brothers and sisters. He had been tending sheep for 40 years. He had been forgotten in Midian. See, that's what God does a lot of times to us. We think we know exactly what's going on in his will, and we speak it forth. There's no reality, but that's okay. We're just going to talk about it, okay? And the next thing we know, God snaps his finger, and we're in Midian. Wait, what happened? What am I doing here? Where's my people? I'm ready to lead them. I'm ready to lead them. Bah, sheep. That's all you're going to lead, sheep. How humiliating is that? How necessary for humiliation to come in our life. I don't know when the revelation that Moses had died, but I know it did. Because I know the man standing before that bush was different than the man who had been translated to Midian. He had been changed from the prince of Egypt to the humblest man on earth. He was defeated. He was deflated. He was isolated. He was offended. And maybe even a little bitter. And I only throw that in because I've been in the grave and I got a little bitter. And so I wondered if Moses got a little bitter. He's a better man than I, so probably not. We think death is the ultimate tough. The cross is the ultimate tough. But the Holy Spirit does some of his best work in the grave. And the grave doesn't get the attention it deserves. It doesn't get the attention it deserves. It does a good work. The grave does a good work. Most of us that have been in the grave, we look back and we say, that grave did a good work. This is not an easy message because it's not words. It's not just words. Some of you old timers, you guys that have been on the road for a while, you know what I'm talking about, because you've been in the grave. You've been in the grave. Yeah, the grave doesn't get its attention until you're in the grave, until you've been buried. Well, faith. That's faith. Waiting. Faith. Those that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. Well, Luke 15 is the last one, and we're, like I said, I only have a few more minutes of the 45 I told you to relax about. And Luke 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's about the prodigal son. And you all know the story of the prodigal son, how the younger son came to his father and said, "Dad, I'm feeling good about myself. All I need is someone to back me. So why don't you give me the inheritance, and I'll be on my way." And so that's exactly what took place. His father said, "Well, okay." And he gave him the inheritance, and the son went off. And we don't know how long it was. I don't know how long it takes to spend an inheritance. 5 years? 10 years? How long does it spend? It doesn't tell us at all. But I think it took a while. Can I say that? Time's not the issue. It took a while. And we're not going to focus on the prodigal. We're not going to focus on the older son. We're going to focus on the father. Because this is a chapter on resurrection. Because the father testifies to the situation. "My son, who was dead, is now alive." The impact that that had when I saw it on my life was incredible. Because I'd been the prodigal. I've also been the older son. But I never thought I'd be the father. Thank God for the fathers that he has in his church. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is telling us to grow up. He's got lots of kids. He's got some young men that are learning the word of God, that are strengthened in their inner man. But he needs some fathers. He needs some fathers that can bring stability. Well, here's where hope comes. And I don't know if it was Andy Dufresne that I first heard it from or the Holy Spirit. Andy Dufresne made an incredible statement in Shawshank Redemption when he was talking to his good friend Red. He said, "Red, hope is a good thing. Hope is a good thing. It might be the best thing. The greatest is love. The most needed is faith. But the best might be hope. We need hope. I need hope." That young brother that shared and said, "Thank you for the hope that we have, Lord." It's hope that comes from the resurrection. The father in the parable of the prodigal son gives the inheritance to his young son, and then he starts looking. And where is it? It's in verse 20. "The son came and arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Was that the day after? 2 days after? A week after? A month after? Every day his father looked for his son. Every day his father had a hope that his son was going to be raised from the dead. Every day. And we look and say, "Oh man, I can't be that faithful to be looking." Yeah, you can. Believe me, you can. Because the Lord is going to take that which you love, and it's going to die. And then he's going to let you sit in the grave. I hope not as long as Moses. I'm going to bypass Joseph. You know how they do the RBI leaders? Okay, this guy's moving up the list. Well, some of us are moving up the list. We've been waiting for something for a long time. I've been waiting for something that's very precious in my life for 20 years now. And every day I look to see if there's resurrection. I get up in the morning looking forward to praying and bringing my dearly beloved daughter before the God that does the impossible. I know exactly what this guy was doing. I think about the party I'm going to have when my daughter is resurrected. What does he say? It was right that we should make merry and be glad. I like a different translation better, but it's right that we should rejoice and celebrate, because this son of mine who is dead has now come back to life. And dear saint of God, don't put a time limit on it. Shirley and I, we talk. That's my wife. We talk about things that are important, and this is one of the most important. We don't talk about it all the time anymore. But I said, you know, we're getting old, Shirley. What's going to happen? You know, she doesn't even have to talk to me about it. The Holy Spirit's already blowing up the box of time. My daughter's going to be raised from the dead, and I'm going to be a witness to it, whether I'm still here with you or I'm not. And I'm going to have a party. You're all invited. Some of you aren't going to be able to make it, but you might still be around because you're young. But you old timers, we're going to kill the fatted lamb and we're going to rejoice. And you know what? We're going to lock arms and we're going to embrace each other, because you have a daughter. You have a son. You have a grandfather. You have a mother, a father, a cousin, an uncle that you dearly love, and the relationship has been broken. You don't talk. Something happened. I got offended. You got offended. We don't even know what happened. I don't even know what happened. That's one of the greatest revelations in my life, when I said, what happened? And my wife said, you don't know the problem? I said, no, tell me. She said, you're the problem. That can't be. Into the grave you go. Prince of Egypt, the humblest man on earth. That I might know him and the power of the resurrection. Is that the rest of the verse? No longer exists? Because we've dissected? I've dissected that verse a million times. I've preached on that one little section at least 10 times. And I was in error, because the verse doesn't stop there. I'd like to stop. The power of the resurrection. Who doesn't like to stop? I just did a series. Let's do a series on Elisha and talk about resurrection. I can do it. It can be done. How about the fellowship of his sufferings? How about being conformed to his death, that I might take part? And I believe the translation should be in the first resurrection. Well, the Lord your God is one. It's important. It's really important not to separate. I'm not saying let's not talk about this word or that word. I do it all the time. I love doing it. But let's embrace. Let's embrace the gospel. Let's not separate it. Let's allow it to speak into our lives. And like me, and like so many that have come before, might we just bow the knee to God's way. His way is death burial, and resurrection. Let's pray. We are so thankful that we have an older brother. I'm so thankful that I have a brother that was willing to walk the road that you've called me to walk and us to walk on. I'm so very thankful that I have an older brother that was brave and that was willing to face death and was willing to be put in the grave for 3 days and three nights and was willing to wait for the Father to raise him. Oh, that we would be willing. Lord, make us willing this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to look in your precious word into these precious chapters of resurrection. Lord, I know that my words are not even close to adequate, but we serve a great God. We've sung about it. We believe it. Now, Holy Spirit, might you take these truths and make them reality. Might you take this light and make it life. Might you take this logos and make it rhema. Lord Jesus, we depend on your great gift from heaven for us, the Holy Spirit, to accomplish this in our lives. Might you be glorified in our midst. Amen.